that music means, it's a Victory Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. 27-13, the final. And as I mentioned earlier, it wasn't even that close. The Lions get a late touchdown, but really were held to field goals for most of the game as the Packers absolutely dominated their division rival, put themselves in the catbird seat in the division. I know it's early, a lot of ball game left, if you will. But you assumed the Lions would be their toughest competition. And for the Packers to go out there and make a statement like that, it is a heck of a good Monday here in the state of Wisconsin. And yet, you talk about things that you can improve on. Matt LaFleur has something that everyone can improve on. Take a listen to the coach yesterday after the win.
But all in all, I was really happy with our performance. I thought the fans that showed up brought great energy, and the fans that sold their tickets to all those Lions fans got to be better.
Oh, is that your first time hearing that?
Yes.
What do you make of the head coach after the win, noting that there was a lot of Honolulu blue in the stands at Lambeau Field?
Kind of chastising the fans who sold their tickets. Is this what they were trying to do away with? Well, in the off season, where they were going to take season ticket holders' tickets away?
Well, yeah, but you have to sell all of your tickets for multiple years.
Yeah.
In order to get your tickets taken away. And look, are there some people that probably purposefully gave them to a family member or a friend that is a Lions fan, sold them to someone that is a Lions fan? Yeah, probably. But 99% of these people put their tickets up on Ticketmaster, and they have no control over who buys them. No control over who buys them.
I mean, what are we talking? There were that many there? 10,000?
It was noticeable.
It was? I'd be upset, too.
I think if Matt LaFleur wants him to keep his tickets, he should peel off some of his salary.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Worry about your own money, pal.
Because you came up with a thought about why it was that way. Joshy. Why do you think there were so many Detroit Lions fans in the stands at Lambeau Field?
If I were to gather, the fans who sold their tickets realized that the Detroit fans are ones who are willing to pay higher amounts because they are their proximity. They're pretty close. And you sell those tickets probably before Micah Parsons gets traded. I think a lot of those people probably have seller's remorse in that case where, hey, I would have loved to have been at this game. But going into the season, I've watched the Lions whoop our butts 3 times at Lambeau Field. What am I going to go pay all that money, all that concession, all that parking again for this? And then Micah Parsons comes to town and you're like, oh, well, I kind of want those back.
Can't buy it back
well,
now.
Because Detroit's Super Bowl or bust. They know that they're after this, their window, maybe it's starting to close already. You know? So that's why their fans are, and they've never won anything.
That's correct.
Are you okay with it then? You guys okay with Packers fans? Again, Gabe, you make the point of like, once you put them out there on the open market, you can't control. Now, there are teams that control who buys tickets, right? There's like a zip code thing or like a geocache thing where you have to put in a zip code. And if your zip code is for the opposing team, sometimes they'll deny the sale. But that, I think, is a team thing. To your point, on a Ticketmaster, on a Vivid Seats, on a StubHub, you don't have the luxury.
Well, I mean, I think it's only through Ticketmaster because those other ones are third party that have nothing to do with the NFL. They have access to the tickets or whatever. Look, and Ticketmaster is not going to deny too many of those sales because they get a cut of the sale.
this week will be interesting to see because you got Washington, proud franchise. They think they're on the uptick, and it's a night game.
It's a Milwaukee game too. A lot of Milwaukee people upset because it's a Thursday night game.
Yeah,
and it's so tougher to get up there. And
it'll
back
be
and
interesting
go to
work
see on Friday.
How many Redskin or Commander fans are here on Thursday? My guess it'd probably be a lot.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Maybe. I talked to a lot of people who do not like going to night games.
So you're okay. So let's talk about it here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health is help. Visit betterhelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month of therapy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. Are you trying to tell me that this Thursday you think there will be more Washington fans in the stands than there were Lions fans this weekend?
Well, like he was saying, those tickets are probably already sold, right?
Yes. If you're going to book a hotel, travel flight,
you're coming in from Washington,
you got your seats.
For a 3:25 game, like if you're a Lions fan, you could still realistically wake up yesterday morning, go, you know, let's go, and still make the drive.
Yes.
Long drive, still committing a lot, but you could drive there and back. It'd be a long day, but I'm sure some people did that. You can't do that with D.C.
No.
You can't wake up in the greater D.C. area and go, hey, let's go to the Packers game today.
Although some people have done that before for certain games, not naming names, but we did that when we went to the Cubs game back in the day. We were like, hey, Cubs play the Cleveland Indians tonight in the World Series. Should we go?
Yeah, but that's still closer. That's still a drive that
we
you can make there.
We were in Connecticut.
Back.
We're two for two on the names that are no longer team names.
Oh, that's right. Good point. They were the Indians, though, at the time. They were the Indians when the Cubs played them in the World Series. What I want to say is this about the tickets. Unless you are buying Packers tickets and chewing up some of those seats, I really don't think you have a leg to stand on. Like, unless you're sitting there going, we are going to buy those seats on Ticketmaster to ensure that Detroit Lions fans aren't going to buy them. This sort of feels like a tough argument. I understand Matt LaFleur wanting 100% Packers fans in the stands. I don't think that's realistic. And I don't know what percentage he'd be happy with, but it feels like if you can keep the opposing fans to under 10% of the fans in your home stadium, that feels like a win.
If it's noticeable, it's a problem.
Well, it's always going to be no, because there's always like a group that's kind of sitting behind the visitor bench.
Yeah.
You know, that obviously because they get some of those tickets as well. So I feel like that group is always noticeable. But yeah, outside of that, if you're seeing a lot of Honolulu blue scattered throughout the stadium.
Let's see. Wolfman weighing in on the YouTube stream. He says, my dad is a ticket holder and the team inflating the prices by double digit every year means he has to sell more. It's called math.
Yeah.
It's almost like I've been pointing this out for every single year when they keep raising prices and raising prices.
Mike weighing in saying, if you can't afford them anymore, give them up so someone who will go to every game can get them.
That's unreal. That's an unrealistic expectation.
That feels arrogant, man. It just feels arrogant that like you think that just because you have Packers season tickets, you have to go to every game. It's called life, man. Like,
well, but not even that. Like, whoever's next on the season ticket wait list... What are the odds that they're in a significantly better financial position than the person who just sold their tickets?
Right.
You guys are all on the fan side?
Yeah.
That's the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah.
Yes, I am pro-consumer.
I'm on the side of if you have an item, and it's your item, the tickets, and I know, Gabe, we have talked about you're basically renting seats, et cetera, et cetera. If I choose to sell them, that's my prerogative. I understand the desire to have home field advantage. I understand to have an overwhelming majority of Packers fans. I have said this in the past as well. I don't like Matt LaFleur worrying about what's happening in the stands. I don't like him worrying about the wave. I don't like him worrying about the noise. I don't like him worrying about who is attending the games. He obviously does. So can't fight City Hall. Leopard can't change its spots and all that. Is it a leopard that has spots or is it a cheetah that has spots? A leopard has spots.
Well, yeah.
Stripes?
It just rhymes. Or whatever. Okay.
Yep, definitely rhymes. Leopard and stripes.
So you're saying the Packers are bringing this upon themselves?
That's what the texter was saying, yes. By raising the prices as much as they have over the years, it makes it harder for fans to be able to afford to go to all the games that they have tickets for. So in order to afford it, you have to sell a couple of your tickets so then it fits within whatever your budget is.
I also don't love this idea that Michael is suggesting. You don't have to go to every game. Just give or sell your tickets to only Packers fans. I'm going to give my tickets away? I paid for these tickets. Like, again, I appreciate the altruism. I appreciate the charity. But you're just going to give them to ensure that there is a Packers fan in the seat? You're just going to give them away? That doesn't make good financial sense
Well,
either.
Some of these people are selling them because, again, they don't want to pay for all six games that they have. They can't afford to pay for all six games, so they need to offset that cost.
All right, let me ask a dumb question.
I got people weighing in. Hold on real quick, Chew. I got people weighing in saying, I've waited 30-plus years for Packers season tickets. That from Michael. Then buy them. Then go on Ticketmaster and buy the tickets that people are putting up for sale. You are certainly welcome to do it. But to chastise those people who are selling them and they can't control who are buying them, it feels like anger for anger's sake.
What's a ticket cost?
Face?
Depends on where you are.
Yeah.
No, what are they selling it for?
Oh, what are they selling it for? Oh, yesterday was easily double. I mean, minimum. You were probably getting double what your ticket was.
$250?
Yeah. Like, that was for the cheapest ticket.
Wow.
Yeah, you're making 2-1, sometimes 3-1 on these games.
I thought they were like $30.
It's not 1995 anymore, pal.
Mario weighing in on this as well. He says, Lambeau is one of the most iconic stadiums. People love to travel to Lambeau. Yeah, and Lambeau has marketed itself as such, right? You can't have it both ways. You can't market yourself as one of the most historic places in the NFL. Come see historic Lambeau Field and then be mad when visiting fans do just that.
Yeah, the
I got it.
The cheapest price face value chew is $139. The most expensive ticket is $196.
Wow. So you said that's
face value. Yeah. Yes.
To sit your ass on a cold metal bench.
Okay.
And Kyle weighing in saying it's actually hard to be a Wisconsin sports fan right now with both the Brewers and the Packers shaped for dominance. I can't afford to do everything. That is a very good point. You know, mm-hmm. Brewers are going to be in the playoffs, mm-hmm. obviously. There are going to be people who are going to be wanting to buy playoff tickets for the Milwaukee Brewers. You sit there and go, you know what would really help out? Sell a couple Packers tickets. Buy those Brewers tickets. Get to the playoffs. We'll take a break here on Jen Gabe and Chewy.
Shout out to the Brewers who are now 7.5 games up on the Cubs.
Oh, it's over.
All Brewers talk here on Jen Gabe and Chewy is brought to you by Neurospine Center of Wisconsin. The Brewers are unconditionally relentless. We have to take a break. We have Rob Domofsky coming up shortly. Not now, but shortly here on Jen Gabe and Chewy. Stick around.
If you're looking to plan an event, of course, you only need to contact Events by Design. Boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. And now's the time to start thinking about it. Football season is officially underway. That means the holiday season is going to be here before you know it. So start thinking about that holiday party you want to throw for your company. And who should you contact to do it? Of course, it should be Events by Design. From all things big and small. Again, they added just a little bit to our golf outing by having walk-up music for every golfer on the 14th hole. They've also done big events like the Bucks Soiree. So whether it's big or small, Events by Design can handle it all. Retain top talent by investing in your culture today. Just search online, Events by Design. They design you party.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse
finally
than
we
what
got,
ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally yes. We figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know how much we love Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin here at ESPN Milwaukee, obviously for a reason. We trust them. I trusted them when it came to getting that new front door on my house. It is beautiful, fantastic. And when a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. And again, you talk to anybody here at ESPN Milwaukee who's used Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, they're going to tell you the same thing. Because maybe you're somebody who has a lot of apprehensions about inviting somebody out to your home. But when you see the experience and professionalism of Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, you can trust them with bringing your project to life. Order by the end of the month gets your percent interest up to 5 years. Just visit PellaWI.com today. And when you do, tell them that Gabe Neitzel sent you.
Yeah, that was sick. LaFleur called me last night and said, we're going to put you last and we're going to give you that embrace that you deserve. So that's pretty sick that they put that together for me. Now they can go back to regular order. I kind of got that. I got that, that feeling. And so, you know, who are the veterans or the captains are, they can get it now.
That's Micah Parsons on being the last guy out of the tunnel, giving the fans an opportunity to really show their appreciation, show that they understand the significance of him being in Green Bay. And it was a loud, raucous cheer. I saw on social media, I think it was Matt Schneidman who said, the only other time it got that loud at Lambeau yesterday was when they were announcing the Super Bowl team and Mike McCarthy was out there on the field, and people really went nuts for Big Mike as well. So kudos to him.
Love to see that for Mike.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Do they have a street up there named after him?
Yeah.
They do? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And shout out to Xavier McKinney, who I believe was the last one who came out of the tunnel prior to the Micah Parsons acquisition, who was asked about it and was like, yeah, no, I get it. Like, this is a big deal. Let's give the fans what they want, which was the opportunity to make a little noise for Micah Parsons. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got to get to Rob Domofsky. He's going to break down everything we saw yesterday at Lambeau Field. Maybe we'll even get into the tickets thing with Rob, because this is so interesting. Lots of reaction rolling in. I do want to get to a lot of it. We'll do it on the other side of this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We need a new intro for this year, though.
Consider it done, Rob.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
The game has to be a continuation of the trend they're on. They can't just sort of go in on a level that, you know, they've been at. They probably do need to play their best game, but I do think it's trending in the right direction.
A prolific golfer?
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
And noted hoopshead.
If you shoot 60% from the free throw line, you're a bad free throw shooter. If you're 60% in the red zone, I don't think that's good.
It's Rob Domofsky time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This better be a great segment.
Victory Monday brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Delicious brands, Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Screaming Sicilian. That just names a few. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find them in your local grocer's freezer aisle.
Packers with an impressive win yesterday over the Lions. We go to Rob Domofsky for all the insight from 1265. Good morning, Rob. How are you doing today?
Good, Jen. How are you?
Very good. I want your insight on this. How far can this defense take this team in 2025?
Yeah, my only concern, I think, at this point is the cornerbacks. But when you have a pass rush that speeds it up so much, you know, maybe that's not a concern at all. You know, Evan Williams, obviously a safety, not a corner, but I was talking to him, and I said, do you realize who got the pressure on your interceptions? And he said, I didn't, but I know it came out fast. And I said, well, it was Parsons. And he goes, well, that makes sense. So, I mean, those guys are aware that it's going to help them. The interesting thing I thought is that right away, we already saw some evolution from Jeff Hafley, because Lucas Van Ness, if he took five snaps inside as a defensive tackle in training camp, it wasn't many more than that. And right away we see him inside on third downs with Parsons and Rashawn Gary. So, you know, Lucas Van Ness is a guy who probably had the most to lose personally in this. I mean, basically lost sort of his job to Micah Parsons, yet Jeff Hafley already came up with a way to get him and all three of those guys on the field, which I think is a good sign for maybe what's more, what could evolve even more.
Rob, I thought Detroit looked terrible. How much do you chalk up to the two new coordinators, or is Green Bay now just a better team?
Yeah, it's a great question, Chewy. And I thought the same thing as I was writing last night, thinking, you know, Packers seemed really good, but this Detroit team looked nothing like the Detroit teams that have handled them the last couple of years. I mean, they didn't seem overly tough. They didn't seem overly athletic. They didn't seem overly daring. I thought Jared Goff looked very, very ordinary. So I wonder if they're just still going through some growing pains with their coordinators, or, you know, did their team just kind of get old and maybe, you know, it's passed them by and they missed their best opportunity. It's a great question.
Micah Parsons, your thoughts.
I've never seen Gabe sort of the pomp and circumstance around any player in Green Bay like this. And that includes, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, Reggie White, Charles Woodson. Like, this is, you know, they've gone out of their way to make this guy like the guy, which is un-Packers-like, right? I mean, the whole letting him come out last and being introduced last. I mean, that's not the kind of stuff the Packers typically don't make it about, you know, one guy. And they've embraced it, which, you know, I guess is somewhat refreshing in that regard. You know, as far as debuts go, you know, if he didn't have that sack at the end, do we look at it a little differently? And look, let's face it, that sack was a little bit in garbage time. But I do think the guy, sacks and quarterback hits aside, I do think he brings two things. He brings juice and he brings credibility that the other players really respect.
How long do you think it's going to take him to get up to speed where he's playing the full amount of snaps that he wants to and is having the impact that he wants to and Jeff Hafley wants him to have?
I'd say week three. It's going to be tough to ask, you know, much of him this week with the quick turnaround. And look, that last series he was on the field, he was gassed. And you know, I said to the guys sitting around me in the press box, I'm like, just get him out of there at this point. You know, the game's over. He looks tired. Don't get him hurt. And then the short turnaround to Thursday is not going to help. But I would say after the mini bye, as long as he comes through the game, fine, Gabe. And there was no indication that the back gave him any troubles. He did not end up having an injection. at all. And he said he didn't need one, didn't feel like he needed anything. But I would think, you know, was it week three at Cleveland? Let him go.
Yep.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He's going to join us each and every week during the Packers season, which we hope goes a very, very, very long time. Settle a debate for us, Rob. Okay, Joshy believes that eventually Matthew Golden is going to emerge as the number one wide receiver. Chewy points to the box score, which shows 10 different guys catching passes from Jordan Love yesterday. That recipe certainly worked. Matthew Golden, for whatever it's worth, 2 receptions on 2 targets, 16 yards, an average of 8 per catch. His long was 11. How do you think this is going to shake out? Will they continue to do this by committee thing as the season goes on, or do you see Golden emerging as the bona fide number one?
Yeah, I did the same thing Chewy did. I pulled up the box score, Jen, and you look at it. Jaden Reed had the most targets at 5. Now, they only had, I think it's 48 plays?
47, which is,
it was real. I mean, I don't remember a play count that low. So I do think it will improve just because they're going to have more opportunities. Love threw it 22 times, and they ran it 25 times. So, yes, the sports writer math is 47. But the, you know, I don't know. It's, at this point I can't sit here and say, by week 7 or whatever, they're going to have a number one receiver. I'm not sure they will, Jen. I think that, this is kind of what they are. And this is kind of what Mike McCarthy, Matt LaFleur,
he was there.
Yeah. So. That was quite a moment too for Mike.
Rob, how serious are the injuries to Banks and Tom on a short week?
Yeah. It's a big concern for the short week for sure, maybe not long term. Chewy Banks has been a guy that's been banged up you know, basically ever since he got here, had a couple different injuries in camp. So there's some concern there. Zach Tom, like it wasn't quite the Warren Sapp, like get whacked in the side because it was friendly fire from Jordan Love. But the play had sort of elements of the Warren Sapp hitting Chad Clifton. I had like a little flashback to it. It was an interception return, and an offensive lineman gets caught up. I will say both of those guys stayed on the sideline. Zach Tom was riding the bike. He was actually on the sideline working on his drop. Like he was in his stance and he was kind of working on his drop, his pass protection. So I thought that was a good sign. But for Thursday night, you know, it could be an issue.
Rob, late in the game, it seemed after the near interceptions thrown by Jordan Love, one was dropped, the other nullified by penalty. Matt LaFleur kind of went, okay, the only way we're losing this is if we're going to turn the ball over. And they went run heavy. Do you think that was just, that was the smart way to go? Or did LaFleur just get a little too conservative?
You know, the dropped interception, like, I wasn't in Jordan's press conference. I was in the locker room talking to guys, and I went back and read the transcript, and I'm not sure he was asked about it. I'll have to go back and double check, but I would love to know what was it. It almost looked like he was trying to throw it away, and he was trying to throw it between two receivers, and he couldn't figure out where to miss it, which was obviously a problem. I think at the end they just wanted to get Josh Jacobs going because in the first half he couldn't do anything. I think they wanted to establish some with the run game. Jacobs, you know, he did pretty well in the second half to end up with 66 yards or so, out of that.
19 ended carries.
Ended up averaging 3.5 yards a carry. For a while he was averaging like 0.9 yards a carry. He got a lot of those yards after contact. Which, you know, I think is kind of what he does anyway. But I think it was LaFleur. I don't know if it was him getting gun shy about the interceptions. I just think he needed to get and felt like he wanted to get the run game going this week.
All right, Rob Domofsky, you are, of course, in the locker room. You're at Lambeau Field. Anything you noticed about the team? Anything that really stood out to you that maybe you haven't seen as many people talking about? Admittedly, there's a lot to talk about, but was there anything that you were like, this is interesting, I'm going to follow up on this? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with Parsons at the beginning. I went over and talked to Lucas Van Ness. No one was talking to him after the game. I get it. Everyone's going to Parsons. But Van Ness is a guy who probably, you know, sort of suffered the most by Micah Parsons' arrival. And Van Ness was great about it. You know, he still thinks he's going to have a big impact. And Parsons, this is a direct quote from Parsons about Van Ness. He said, "I think Van Ness is going to have his best year yet, and I'm going to make sure of that." That guy, he's very selfless. He's a very selfless player. You know, to me, I just think that that's sort of, it's not necessarily Micah Parsons related, but it's Micah Parsons tangentially related. And I just thought that was really interesting. Lucas Van Ness had the most pressures of anybody yesterday. He had four of them.
Rob, the biggest takeaway from the game was how, for me, was no pressure by the Detroit defensive line. What was your take on Hutchinson? Is it going to take him a little time to come up to speed after last year's season-ending injury, or is he just didn't seem like the same player?
No, he definitely didn't. I mean, that was obviously a really bad injury, and it'll be interesting to watch that as it goes on, because this is a guy who, you know, is obviously a great player, but you know, Packers offensive line did a pretty good job against him, at least in pass protection.
Who impressed you most in the interior of the defense? Because again, everybody's excited about Micah, but you did lose the veteran in Kenny Clark, and they held up. They were tremendous against the run yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, why all those guys? Colby Wooden is probably to me the biggest surprise, Gabe. I probably shouldn't admit this because it makes me look like an idiot, but I did not have Colby Wooden on my last 53-man roster projection. I didn't think they were going to keep six defensive tackles, and I knew they were going to keep the draft pick, who, by the way, was inactive. I knew they were going to keep Stackhouse, who was undrafted but active instead of the draft pick. And, you know, I thought, okay, who's the odd man out here? Now, they ended up keeping six, maybe because they knew Kenny Clark was the guy that the Cowboys wanted if they were going to end up making a trade. So I guess I'll admit my bad on that, but I thought Colby Wooden was outstanding yesterday, especially for a guy who I apparently didn't think was going to make the team.
Rob, how excited are you for Monday Night Football tonight to watch the other two teams in the division, the Bears and the Vikings, go at it and really get a good sense of where the Packers shake out, where they line up in this NFC North?
It's going to be great, too, because I felt like in week one, the standalone or the big time slot games were really good. But, man, the noon games yesterday, I mean, I know the Rodgers game was exciting, but there weren't a lot of great games in that in the noon window, just not a lot of great teams. So I thought the Thursday night game, the Friday night game, the Packers 325 games, you know, the marquee slots were all really good games. So hopefully that week one ends with a good one Monday night. And look, I mean, J.J. McCarthy is maybe the greatest unknown in the NFL right now. And I mean, that's really going to be interesting to see.
And meanwhile, there is an article by Ty Dunn about Caleb Williams and his, I'm sure you got to peruse through it. We were saying that, man, how about the Schartenfarter for Packers fans reading through the dysfunction that allegedly went on over the last year or so with Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears? That was fun, right?
Yeah, I read right up until the paywall kicked in, and then I was blocked out.
But so, you got a good sense of what the rest of the article, of it, yeah.
I'm not paying. No, sorry, Ty, I'm not paying.
He's Rob Domofsky.
I'm trying to keep my retirement going. I'm trying to retire in a few years.
You know what, though? That's a really good. I'm going to do this. I'm sorry. I know we're up against it. But, like, what did you make of Matt LaFleur's comments yesterday about the Lions fans at Lambeau Field?
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about it in the previous segment, and I don't know that there's a great real-life comparison, but the only thing that popped into my head was, let's say I bought a car, and I let you drive it, and that would almost be like the dealer saying, no, I sold you the car. Jen's driving your car. I'm taking your car. I know that's not exactly like the same, but that was the thing that popped into my head. It's a hard call for the Packers. It's a hard call for fans. Tickets are really, really expensive. I get it. I think, you know, in a perfect world, you'd like fans to sell to other fans. Like, that would be the perfect world. But if they're going to sell their tickets, I don't know. I don't necessarily think it's right just to take them away. Now, if you never go to a game, maybe you issue a warning and say if you don't, then this is going to happen. There's a buddy of mine up here, Kyle Cousineau. He on Facebook, he always says, hey, if you're going to sell your tickets, I will find a Packers fan that's going to buy your tickets for you, because he wants to make sure that there's not a ton of the visiting colors, which, by the way, Chewy, that looks a little bit like Hawaiian blue. Ooh. There on your sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah, I never thought of that.
And he doesn't care to, for whatever it's worth. You know what I was thinking is Matt LaFleur's got a chunk of change. Maybe Matt LaFleur starts buying the tickets.
Yeah.
Maybe Matt LaFleur starts, you know, distributing the tickets, you know, like Kyle does up in Green Bay. If it's,
there you go.
Bothers him so much. You're Matt the LaFleur, best, Rob.
Ticket, Matt LaFleur, ticket broker on the side.
Yeah, side hustle, of course. We all have side hustles. All right, Rob, we really appreciate you hanging out with us. Very much looking forward to having you join us every single Monday. Or is it after the game day? How do we have it structured?
Monday.
That's always a great question. I don't know how we, I think it's fluid.
We just throw up the Rob signal and he responds like Batman.
Yeah. Josh, I love the intros, but man, that's last year's intro.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Once again, Rob.
He's cracking the whip.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you the intro.
You know what? You're right. You are 100% right.
This is very much like the ticket thing. He's now chastising you. Meanwhile, you're like, I sell the tickets so that I can pay for the season tickets.
If I didn't say anything good on this for an intro, then what kind of intro are we going to have next time? It's not going to be very good.
You might have earned a repeat. I don't know. I
We're going to get back. Right. We're going to look at the tape. We're going to evaluate. And we're going to try to get better.
He's not a grinder like me and you, Rob.
Self-scout. So I'll have the bye weekend the next week, the mini bye, to self-scout my appearances.
Tell you what, I can tell you which direction Joshy's leaning right now. Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Rob Domofsky, you are just the best. Appreciate you hanging out with us.
I have a feeling I'm in trouble next week. We'll see you.
Discover Proof Pizza at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's in the heart of the Milwaukee Theater District, a modern pizzeria delivering Neapolitan-style pies, a bold grill menu, and old-school hospitality in a sleek, art-inspired setting. If you're walking around downtown, I can't recommend Proof Pizza enough. Pop right in. They'll make your pie. It won't take very long, and you will have a wonderful lunch. Here's a tip. If you mention my name, Jen Latta, you'll get 10% off your order. So why not pop in today? Get a pie. Celebrate the big victory at stkatearts.com. More information, stkatearts.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm with Gabe here. Yeah, I feel more confident in my left hand here, just cupping right now, other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also...
I get a lot more work out of the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hey, ESPN Milwaukee listeners, Josh DiMaggio here for my friends at Wanna Parlay, my favorite daily fantasy app with the absolute largest payouts on parlays. You've heard me talk about them before, but with football season here, it's time to play. Tonight I got a little Roma Dunze anytime touchdown, Caleb Williams over half an interception, and Aaron Jones over 49.5 rushing yards. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and when you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. Download the Wanna Parlay app, use promo code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
Celebrating that big Packers victory yesterday, and speaking of betting and odds and all of that, Joshy, kind enough to share with us the numbers over at Pottawatomie Sportsbook as well. Your Green Bay Packers guys have the fourth best Super Bowl odds after that win over the Lions yesterday. They are currently +1,000 behind the Ravens, Bills, and Eagles. That's enticing.
Ravens, Bills, and Eagles.
That's fair. No?
Then the Chiefs, then the Lions, if we're looking at those numbers.
So you're thinking Eagles?
I mean, the Ravens lost yesterday.
Yeah, they still put up 41.
Still, you know?
How much does that
good.
Suck? Getting, when you put up that many points and you lose?
Yeah. That's not
on
good.
A field goal to a guy who just joined the team.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Hey, Wildy and Tausch are going to be talking Packers all morning long. They're next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.